to Fill In Therapy. I'm Colleen Murphy, your host for this week's episode. Today, I am very excited to welcome Don Wilcox to the show. Don is the Associate Senior Vice President of Development and Corporate Partnerships at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. And Don, along with Chris Martinez, the Chief Executive Officer of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation, will be presenting a session at the upcoming AHP conference in Chicago called Building, Selling, and Delivering Corporate Partnerships and Cause Marketing Programs. Welcome, Don.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Why don't we start with you maybe telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I come from a PR agency background. I spent about 18 years in the agency world running campaigns for nonprofits and corporations, pure PR and marketing campaigns, as well as cause marketing and corporate philanthropy. So I was doing that at an agency when Children's Hospital Los Angeles called me one day and said, we'd love to have you come here and build and grow the work we do with corporations in support of the mission of the hospital. So 9 years ago, this week, actually, I joined the hospital and have been building the work we do in corporate, Hollywood, sports, events, sponsorships, workplace giving, all kinds of things. So
that sounds really interesting. And I thought, you know, maybe we could actually start by defining what we mean when we say cause marketing. Do you mind sort of sharing what that is in sort of simple terms?
Sure. I'm a little bit of a literal word definition person because I think cause marketing gets used really broadly, and that's fine. You know, the true definition is a win-win partnership between a business and a nonprofit that meets the goals of the business and the nonprofit. And so some people look at corporate philanthropy and call it cause marketing. But I tend to view it purely as a marketing activity, that it is designed to benefit and support both the corporation and the nonprofit.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for sort of clarifying that a little bit. I think there is sometimes some confusion around that phrase for sure. So I would love to hear maybe some of your experiences with cause marketing and, of course, corporate sponsorships as well within your own organization. You know, what does that look like for you?
So we have the benefit of being a pretty well-established brand in Southern California. You know, I think one of our challenges is that we're not a national nonprofit. And so that can be limiting sometimes on the types of cause marketing and corporate philanthropy that we can do. But anytime we talk to a company, there's an immediate connection to the mission and an understanding of the importance of supporting your local children's hospital and supporting the work that's done within a children's hospital and in the community. So it's kind of an easy pitch in that, of course, we want to help children, but you know, there can be challenges too with not giving them national exposure being a local organization. So we've gotten pretty creative on how we do that, whether it be a corporate gift or a cause marketing campaign or sponsorship of an event or employee engagement.
Okay. Yeah, that, I guess I see your point there. And if we had Chris on the show, we were going to have him on the show and something came up, he would be able to speak to maybe that more national approach to partnerships and cause marketing. So you have to stay tuned. Those of you that will be at the conference will need to go and hear from Chris a little bit more about that. So what are some, I mean, just in your experience thus far, you've been in your role, it sounds like for about 9 years. What are some of the best examples that you've seen under the sort of umbrella of cause marketing or corporate sponsorships?
I mean, you know, there's certainly some of the things that we've done that I'm really proud of. And I always look to see what other nonprofits and other companies are doing across the country, because I think there's so much we can learn from each other. You know, some of my favorites have been to watch the relationship with Macy's and Make-A-Wish, and see how they bring that to life every year during the holidays. And to me, that is such a gold star example of integration with the brand, leveraging your marketing assets by advertising and telling your customers of the support of the nonprofit, and then making it really easy for the customer to participate and give back. So we often look at those campaigns and say, okay, what can we learn? How can we replicate that here? One of the partners that I have the privilege of working with is Delta Airlines. And, you know, they support a number of children's hospitals and a number of causes across the country. And they truly, you know, from the top down, just just are committed to philanthropy and committed to supporting the local community. Theirs is truly a corporate gift in how they support us, but then we bring it to life throughout the year with event sponsorship, employee volunteer opportunities, and different points of recognition and engagement throughout the year.
Well, that's an important point that you just made. So it's not just sort of lending, you know, their brand or name to your cause, but as you said, you're really integrating employees and, you know, taking the approach of like they're true partners, it sounds like, for you.
It is. And every partner is a little bit different. You know, this is something we'll talk about in the workshop when you start to build your partnership and the steps you need to take to put a solid, successful partnership in place. And it is really analyzing their business, what's important to them, what markets are important to them. If employee engagement is what rises to the top, how are you going to build that in? In some cases, you know, there's a number of brands and companies I've worked with that have wanted to launch a new brand or a product, and that was the priority for them. So then we were able to maybe leverage a celebrity relationship that we have and pull together a nice donation and some opportunities for visibility tied to a brand launch.
Wow. Okay. So it's very, very customized is what I'm hearing. You look at each individual corporate entity and sort of figure out, maybe reverse engineer what their goal is, and make it work for both of you. Okay.
That's the partnership part of it. And that's the part I love. You know, if it was cookie cutter, I think I'd get bored really quickly. You know, we'll teach people the steps and we'll talk through the process. But when it comes down to kind of the get creative side of it, that's where you're really going to have a chance to shine and say, okay, you know, if you have 200 locations, then let's do, you know, roundup at the register. That's been around forever. It's a proven, you know, way to raise money. You've got the added benefit of multiple locations participating. The business can track it, report it, you know. So we do really analyze all the aspects of the company and what we think is going to work for them when we make our recommendation. And there's often a brainstorm together to say, well, we can do this, but we can't do that.
Yeah. Okay. So if you are advising a nonprofit that might be listening today on how to get started, you know, perhaps they don't even have a cause marketing or a vibrant, you know, corporate partnership program in place, what would you recommend? You know, what are the sort of beginning steps, or what are some best practices that can set them up for success?
I think one of the first steps to take is to think about the brand fit that you're looking for. What does your brand stand for? What are you known for? What's important to you? And then what companies, what businesses and brands would align with that? I mentioned earlier about, you know, with a children's hospital and children's health, it's really broad. You know, it's hard to find people that won't commit to supporting that in some way. But sometimes a nonprofit focuses on a very narrow or specific issue. And so they need to think about, okay, this is the particular area that we focus in. It's critical to the community. But maybe a company may not understand the impact we have on the community. And so we need to do a good job of communicating that and making sure they're aware. So there's pros and cons to being a kind of big organization and having lots of brand awareness versus being a small organization, not having as much. So thinking about brand fit and alignment is really important as a first step.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm assuming that, you know, you maybe have hit some challenges or roadblocks along the way. What are some, if you don't mind sharing, what maybe some of those challenges have looked like, again, so other nonprofits can perhaps learn from you? What are some things that folks should be prepared for when they're looking at this?
Yes. So, you know, even this week, we have a researcher that uncovered some information about a brand that we work with that wasn't great, you know, so it's kind of just constantly being on top of what's being talked about around a brand or a company's leadership and being aware of that and then adjusting to say, okay, maybe this isn't a company or brand that we want to partner with right now, because some of the things that they are dealing with aren't aligned with our brand. And that's where I go back to the brand fit. You know, I always try to keep that lens on everything, because there have definitely been some challenges with reputation, I would say, is kind of one category that we're always looking at. and business practices. We've had partners in the past that have committed to donating or raising a certain amount of money and then weren't able to follow through on that. But it was very publicly kind of shared. So, you know, those are tough conversations to have with a partner to go back and say, hey, you made this commitment and your customers believed that whatever they were doing in your location was contributing to this cause. So we need to make good on that. For all kinds of reasons. So there have definitely been some of those hurdles and speed bumps over the years. And we try to mitigate that with a lot of research and a lot of pre-planning in advance to try to see what's being said. We look on social media to see what's being said about a company or a brand. Glassdoor to look at what employees think about working there.
Okay.
It's pretty extensive.
So you do a lot of vetting ahead of time, which, you know, again, to your point is, you know, super important. And maybe that's a step that mm-hmm. could easily be, you know, not ignored, but rushed through. And your point being that that is a really critical part of it. Homework,
and
right?
We've created categories like exclusion categories for us too, where we have it in writing for our own internal use that there are certain types of companies and brands that we're not going to work with. And we have language for if someone on the team is contacted by a company and we know that they don't meet the criteria, we have some easy language for them to use to decline the opportunity. And so those are important things to think about too. It's hard to, as a fundraiser, you want to say yes to everything right. And you want to make it work, but there are just times that it's not going to be a good fit and it could create more issues down the road.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. So I'm assuming that maybe at some point you've had potentially issues around this, but how can organizations gain that really important internal consensus for their programs? Have you run into those issues?
Oh, yes. And it can be the size of the organization, can be the layers. I think healthcare in particular creates its own challenges because we do have, you know, issues around compliance and privacy and regulations and things that we always need to keep in mind. That feeds into those exclusions that I mentioned. But it also feeds into just what we can do on behalf of a company and making sure that we, you know, talk to the team who oversees Child Life before we agree with a corporate partner that we're going to bring people in to volunteer and support corporate, you know, support Child Life in some way. Or, you know, we really try to engage our different internal teams from marketing to the different kind of programmatic areas, clinical leaders. There are times we need to obviously have conversations with legal or finance. But building those relationships ahead of time, understanding kind of what the potential red flags might be or might come up, helps you get ahead of it a little. I mean, there have been times where I've reached out to legal and said, okay, I know that these are the three things that are really important to you in this agreement. Is there something else that we can maybe exchange for this? You know, in order to make this happen, how can we work together to still meet our internal legal requirements and help this partner support us? So that only happens when you have relationships in place. And I have an incredible team that has been building those relationships with all of the key departments over many years. So we know what Volunteer Resources is capable of. We know what compliance can do. We know what Child Life can do. We know what catering and facilities can do. You know, knowing that ahead of time will help you build a more effective partnership.
Oh, that's really good advice. So what are, I'm also interested to hear a little bit more about some tactics that maybe you've used or you've heard of for prospecting, you know, and for marketing potential partnerships out there.
So there's some old fashioned ways. I think people just still Google, you know, when they're kind of looking for leads or ways to get in. You know, LinkedIn, it continues to be a really strong resource. I think, you know, it's gotten a little weird at times. I think there's some aspects of Facebook that kind of flow into LinkedIn now and then, but for the most part, it's still a good place to find people and find connections and ask for introductions. So we still use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool. We also look at relationships with our board, and that comes partly, you know, you can do that research online. There's software that exists to help you like relationship connect and all of that. But it's those, again, goes back to relationships that you have. So spending time with your board and knowing what their current, you know, work situation is, or jobs they've had in the past, or companies they're affiliated with, you can leverage those relationships to help you get introductions. And as part of our orientation for new board members, we actually include a section now on how you can help us connect to other corporate partners. And we take them through the steps of making the introduction, if you want to attend the first meeting, or what we're looking for in a new corporate partner. So we activate them to help us do the prospecting.
Well, that is a terrific idea. So you're offering a little bit of training, right? Mm-hmm. Like a little bit of support for them at the very beginning of your connection. Okay. Terrific idea. Is there anything else that you feel that you want to share on this topic? I think it's a really exciting topic, and there's clearly just a ton of potential out there for organizations to tap into.
There is. And I think the fact that Chris and I only have 90 minutes at the conference will be challenging, because for both of us, we could talk about this all day long, and it's something we've spent our careers doing, and we're excited to help others do it and learn and get more effective and get maybe some new ideas and walk away that day really motivated to do more, because the potential is enormous and businesses of all shapes and sizes are possible corporate partners. So I hope that people come and enjoy the workshop. We'll have a few panelists that will be talking about their own personal experiences. We'll do some hands-on activity, and we'll try to fit it all in 90 minutes.
Oh, good luck. Well, for those of you listening that will be at the conference, absolutely check out Don and Chris's presentation session. I know you'll have a lot of practical hands-on activities happening during that time. And you're right, 90 minutes is not a lot of time. So, but for those of you that cannot attend, I hope that this was a little introduction to partnerships and cause marketing, and maybe how your organizations can benefit from that. So Dawn, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your own experiences and hopefully inspiring some other folks out there to get their own programs going.
Thank you, Colleen. I look forward to seeing everyone at the conference.
Sounds good. Thanks again.